Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com, where we talk movies, comics, TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. My headphones aren't working. With me is always my co-host, Nick Mason.
My headphones might be working if I had some. Don't have any in. Who's to say?
Who is to say? I can't hear my own voice. I could just hear a muffled version of my own voice.
See, this happened because we relocated.
Yeah, we did.
To do the
Man of Steel
long-awaited
commentary.
Man of Steel commentary, yeah. Audio commentary that's on Bandcamp.
No.
And we've moved everything back into the man cave.
Regular room.
It's a man cave, or we had to unplug everything to move it, and then we plugged everything back in, and now we don't.
And now it's just a bloody disaster, mate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you do want that commentary, if you go to weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp? What is
Bandcamp? Wait, weeklyplanetpod.bandcamp.com. Yeah.
You can play it for free, but you can also, if you want, you can pay money for it. Or if you're a Patreon, it's already there.
It's already there. Yeah.
So choose your poison.
I had a really good time with it.
Me too.
Yeah.
I noticed that I had unbridled enthusiasm, and by then I was just like, I was upset.
I don't know
if you noticed that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I generally do like that movie.
At one point you had an existential crisis. You're like, you get to like nearly the end and you're like, this is okay and some of it's pretty good and I like this movie, but some of it I don't like. There's a long pause and you're like, am I wrong? So that was my favorite part, but it's all pretty good. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, thank you for those who've already checked it out also. And thank you to those who are going to see Indiana Jones 5 in 2019. Thank you from us.
Do you
hear about this?
He's back.
Do you hear about this?
He's signed on, right?
Harrison Ford signed on. I assumed that would have been part of his contract with Disney and Lucasfilm in general. I think because he's always wanted to do another one. He loves Indiana Jones movies.
They were like, we very rarely get him in the room. Let us just put him in here and sweat him out until he agrees to as many of his properties as we can get him to agree to.
We'll get Peter Mayhew to hold his marijuana above his head. Just have him try and get it.
Yep.
Until
he
agrees.
We'll hotbox this whole room. He'll feel good. He'll let his guard down, and then we just put contracts in front of him.
That's it. That's exactly it. No, I genuinely think he's keen for this.
Uh-huh.
So they've always kind of said since Disney acquired Lucasfilm, oh no, we will do it. We'll get around to it. But if, I feel like Star Wars was a priority.
Yep.
Get that out of the way. Get your bloody Harrison Ford in, and then bundle him off, mate.
So when this comes out, he will be how old? Well,
that's a good question. 2019. He'll be 19.
Ooh.
Let me get Harrison Ford is how old? Question mark? I'm actually writing question mark.
Hang on.
Let's experience Google.
Hey Siri, how old is Harrison Ford now? He's 73. Thank you, Siri.
Thank you, Siri. Say thank you from me.
Thank you. James also says thank you, Siri.
73. So what's that? 3 years. So he'll be 76.
Okay.
Wait, is it 3 years? Yeah.
76 trombones.
Yeah. What's that mean?
It's the only reference I've got there.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The big parade.
Is that too old?
To be Indiana Jones.
Well, he'll be 75, presumably, when he shoots it.
The issue will be how seamless will the transition be between him and the stuntman that is playing him in literally every action sequence and most of the sequences. You know what I mean?
They could just put a CGI head on now.
Yeah, but how good... Oh, maybe, I don't know.
Actually, we are talking Daredevil this week. I want to talk stuntmen, so I'm going to put that in.
Great.
Because they do some bloody good work. But there's one thing I want to say in particular.
Okay.
Yeah, we are talking... Yeah, I feel... Do you think it's going to be one of those... You know,
are they going to attempt to pass the torch again, is my question.
Well, my thinking was... And this is just a guess, that You remember that new Die Hard prequel they're making that's got Bruce Willis present day and then late 1970s John McClane on the beat?
Yep, sure.
I think we're going to get something like that.
Okay, great. So we are still going to get young
River Indiana Phoenix. Jones.
Yep, great.
I mean, who was the guy who played him in Young Indiana Jones? The guy from Boondock Saints, whose name I can't remember.
Great.
Neil Patrick Flannery, I want to say.
Sean Patrick Flannery?
Sean Patrick
Harris. I was going to say, you combine Neil Patrick Harris and Sean Patrick Flannery, which is totally fine.
Yeah. Mm. So that's interesting. The David Koepp,
King Cooper.
He's gonna write this one as well, and he had a big hand in Crystal Skull. There was a few people like Frank. I think Frank Darabont wrote some of that, as did George Lucas. Had the MacGuffin idea of aliens, and the real knowledge was getting your eyes burned out by an alien.
Amazing.
Or the real treasure.
And again, for me, that is not the issue of the movie. I know a lot of people look, oh, it's aliens, but
it can be whatever.
Yeah, it can be whatever. And I feel that, like, when, because it moved to the 50s,
yeah,
and that was the pulp,
yeah,
you know, the pulp staple of the 50s was you discovered aliens.
That was the pulp fiction
of its time. Pulp fiction of its time, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, no, I agree with you. That wasn't the issue with that movie. I think the issue was, like, the CGI, and Harrison Ford's pretty much like a passenger in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, is a bit where I think he gets on the back of Shia LaBeouf's motorcycle and hugs him and they drive through a bloody
So the issue here library. Is... make him, he's going to be older, but he also has to be less like a passenger in his own movie.
Exactly.
So they're going to have to, it's going to have to be action sequences where he's crafty more than he is
fisty. Yeah,
exactly.
Crafty more than fisty, if you could, Disney.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too.
It'll be 11 years after the last one by the time this comes out.
Wow.
Because that feels fresh.
That franchise is old and we're old. Harrison Ford is very old.
He is.
Now, I think maybe another question that is pertinent is there another certain actor who is also signed on to this one?
Are you talking young, shy man LaBeouf?
Yes, I am.
There is not a chance in hell. I don't know this for a fact, but there is no way that will get him back. Not only is he a joke of a human being, nobody likes him or takes him seriously.
Do you think that... the movie will perhaps begin with Indiana Jones walking away from like a gravestone that just says Mutt Jones.
It just says Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, the actor and the man, the acting career and the man. And then they just walk away. Yeah.
Well, look, like John McClane's had a daughter and a son.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll have a daughter.
Maybe he'll have a daughter.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Whatever.
Mm. What if they got Daisy Ridley.
Yeah.
Daisy okay. Ridley.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, as a daughter, that would be
fun. Someone sent to me Anna Kendrick.
That could work.
Look, I think they're going to have to, if they're going to continue this franchise, which I feel like they will, they're going to have to recast. Because Indiana Jones isn't the kind of thing that you pass the torch. And I was saying this to Still Saunders the other day.
I'll mention that
in a minute. But that Indiana Jones isn't like Star Wars, wherein it spans thousands of years in any direction.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana Jones is about one guy. During, just before the war.
Yes.
Except for the one that's in the 50s. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't go, this is his son, and this is his grandson, and he's fighting the Soviets in the 80s. Like, yeah.
Look, all you can do with Indiana Jones is go, okay, here's his major adventures.
Yep.
You know, Temple of Doom, Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Here's some stuff that happened slightly before those.
Yep.
Here's some stuff that happened slightly after those.
Yes, exactly.
You can try kid stuff, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah.
And stop trying to teach us math in young Indiana Jones.
Stop trying to give us edutainment.
Yeah.
It does not work.
Does anyone have fond memories of Young Indiana Jones Chronicles? If so, you're wrong. Your brain is wrong.
I thought you were going to say email in.
No.
But don't email in. You're wrong.
Don't bother.
Yeah.
Well, this might tie into Indiana Jones because they've narrowed the list down again for the Young Han Solo movie called Young Han Solo Chronicles.
Uh-huh.
And it's some of the names we've heard before. They've confirmed that Chewbacca is going to be in it.
Great.
That's the reaction. Good. But they've got...
Although, who's real funny in the last one?
Real funny...
Was he funny, though?
Yeah, he was funny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you just get... Because, actually, Chewbacca was played by... Oh, you'd obviously
they were a fun
this.
Double act, really.
They were. Yeah. They were. Two actors. There's a guy, I think he's a young Norwegian guy who did all the running around and the climbing ladders, and Peter Mayhew did all the sitting.
Uh-huh.
So, you know. Because, you know, his knees aren't so good. But, yeah, so they've got Alden Ehrenreich, who's in Hail Caesar, and apparently he's one of the best parts of that. Okay. I haven't seen it.
I also haven't seen it. I was super bang up for seeing it, but then every review and everybody who's talked to me about it who's seen it has gone, look, it's pretty fun, but who cares?
Yes,
kind of thing.
Yeah,
like, it's not their best and it's not their worst.
Yeah,
so
totally.
See it whenever you get around to seeing it. Anyway, you were saying.
What else was I saying?
Other actors.
Jack Raynor from Transformers.
So you were on Steel Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The Steel Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The Star Wars podcast.
Star Wars Steel Wars podcast.
That's the one.
It's called Steel Wars.
And you were mentioning there's a guy who just does like a Han Solo impression.
There is,
and
yeah,
people
yeah.
being like, hi, this guy to be young Han Solo because he does a great Han Solo impression.
Yeah.
But what you were saying was
yes.
that he just does like a very good impression of the Han Solo lines that
the things
already
that
exist.
Have already been said. Yes.
So you'd need Harrison Ford offside,
yes.
like just out of camera range, feeding him lines the way that Han Solo would, and then he can copy them.
That's right.
Right.
Or like using him like a marionette.
Yeah, so he's more like he's a marionette / parrot. So he's off the table.
A parrotinette.
Yeah.
Parionette?
Oh, parionette. That's
you.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll quickly mention that now. Yeah, I caught up with Steele Saunders, comedian,
mm-hmm.
podcaster.
Correct.
All-round entertainment guru.
Mm-hmm.
We had a two-hour chat about Star Wars on his podcast, Steel Wars, and we talk about like all our, you know, mine and his favorite things from Star Wars and The Force Awakens and things we don't like, which is mostly like the prequels and like how we got started with the podcast and how I got started on YouTube. And yeah, it's an awesome podcast. He does like a whole lot of great interviews. He had like Leonard Maltin, a whole lot of people who have like, one of the editors of Force Awakens and people who have built droids and like it's a
so
great,
much stuff,
it's a great
yeah.
podcast. So mm-hmm. check it out. Steel Wars. And also you did an episode as well.
I did.
An earlier one.
Yeah, quite whole bunch of episodes ago.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, if people are keen, I'll link it below.
So you've got two options.
Yes.
If you want to listen to a podcast, a Star Wars podcast featuring one of us, it's do you want to listen to somebody who knows something about Star Wars or not? So you can either choose James' episode or my episode respectively.
That's exactly it. Also, they're up for the, he's up for the Star Wars Podcast Awards for like favorite podcast and a bunch of other stuff. I'll link that below. Give him a bloody vote because it's a good podcast. Get into it. Well recommended by both of us.
Yes.
Also me. You said it was garbage.
What? Uh-oh. You'll edit this out, right?
Definitely.
Great.
No, it's good. It's genuinely good. Another one was Taron Egerton from Kingsman.
Oh, yes.
I think he's good. He's probably my favorite.
Yep.
Yeah. Did I mention Jack Raynor from Transformers?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Yeah, you had no reaction, I noticed.
He's the weird...
Irish
drift
kid.
Driver.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Blake Jenner, who I'm like, every time I hear that, I'm like, who is
that?
Is
he a Kardashian?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
No, he's from Glee. He's got the hair for it.
Sure.
And Jack O'Connell from Unbroken, which I think is that Angelina Jolie movie about that sprinter who gets captured by the Japanese, I think. I'm just looking that up. And that may or may not be him. I think it is Sam. So yeah, these ages vary, but they're mostly like mid-20-ish.
Okay, sure.
So that looks like what, because Han Solo, I think, is 32, 33, maybe.
Okay.
In the first Star Wars, give or take.
Mm.
Maybe closer to above or below that age. But the thing...
but he's definitely of an age. He's a certain number of parsecs.
Yeah.
That's his age. We don't know how many that is. It's very vague.
Here's a question, though, for you.
Yes.
If they, well, they are, they're recasting Han Solo, and if they recast young Indiana Jones, do they go same actor?
Oh, no, because if one is a disaster,
yes.
they're both a disaster.
Right.
So
right.
I reckon, and yeah, now they've got a, although what if one turns out to be really good?
Yeah.
And they just swap out the bad one for the good one.
Yeah. I think that's what would happen though.
You know what, because.
Like people would, I don't think that would happen, but people would demand it though, to be like, get the other guy.
Yeah.
Who's in the other one that I like.
That might be kind of you might get kind of competitive.
Totally, yeah.
Definitely. In the sense of like, if I'm not the best Han Solo I can possibly be, I will get bumped for the guy who's the best Indiana Jones
that's
he can
exactly
possibly
it.
Be. Yeah.
And I feel like if they did give it to the one guy though,
yeah,
that's giving one guy too much power.
Yeah, it is, isn't
at
it?
At Disney.
He could start to, that exactly right, he could start to demand things.
That's
you
right.
Know, if they're both wildly successful, he could be like, you know.
Come on.
I want a trailer. I don't want to have to sit around in the corner of the lunchroom.
I demand that Harrison Ford does all my studs.
Yeah.
So yeah, look, I'm not excited for the Han Solo movie.
Okay.
It's an inevitability.
Yeah.
It's a thing we're gonna get. I think the universe is bigger than the four people that are in the
sure.
original Star Wars or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But you know, we're getting it, fine. But after this, can we just get some other stuff, maybe? just another movie. About, like, I'm happy we're getting Rogue One because it's other stuff.
Yep.
Just some more other stuff would be
other
great.
Other stuff would be great, yeah. Yeah. We don't need to know that. We don't need to know every minute aspect of everybody's backstory.
No.
In a lot of cases, it's just better to go, imagine what it would be like. Isn't that great? That
Or don't think about
don't
it.
Don't think about it at all.
That's right.
Think about your own life. Do your taxes. They're coming up.
That's it. Warcraft trailer. It's just a short one.
Yeah.
About a minute or so.
That's right.
I liked the beginning because it was very simple.
Yep.
Two, one. Those orcs, they look oddly big, don't they?
Yeah.
Like they don't quite fit the world because they're so big.
Yeah,
is that,
yeah.
Is that just me? I mean, I know that's how they look. I'm aware of that. But the humans in the games have like giant shoulder pads match it. And they're about the same size, but they're not really in this. Mm. Anyway, whatever.
Is that going to be the worst thing about this movie?
Probably not.
I think I had the same reaction. Because I was pretty ambivalent to the last one.
Yeah.
And then I watched some of this and I'm like, oh, it's looking quite a lot better. Looks pretty good. And then it's my enthusiasm tapered off.
Then it's like Griffin's Castle.
Exactly.
Massive.
In the space of 1 minute, I'm like, oh, maybe not. And there's a scene right at the end where like, one, like a human charges an orc or an orc charges a human and it didn't look great.
Sounds like a bloody Warcraft, mate.
Yeah, it sounded like a real Warcraft. Is that good or bad? Who's to say?
I want this to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't Duncan Jones, I'd be like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But because I've loved literally every movie he's ever made,
yeah,
the two that he's made,
uh-huh,
that I'm aware of, maybe it's more than that, then I'm totally on board for this,
yeah,
regardless. Yeah.
You know how in every video game movie they somehow... They attempt to like shoehorn in a mechanic that is the same as
like the Doom game.
Like in the Doom where there's a first person perspective scene that is awful. Do you think there'll be some do you think there'll be some sort of real time strategy?
Oh, I hope so.
Like or because it'll
there'll be like a board where like a shuffleboard
and or a map where somebody like there'll be an army marching and there'll be a map and you'll hear a little, like somebody will draw like a circle around their target and you hear a little click as it's happening kind of thing, maybe that.
Maybe we'll get a map and then you'll zoom into the map and then it will go bird's eye view of the battle and then it will kind of swoop in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That being said, I want the shuffleboard.
Shuffleboard would be good, wouldn't it?
The shuffleboard.
Yeah.
Are you excited for this though?
No. Not even a little bit.
All right.
But maybe maybe I'm managing my expectations there. Maybe it'll be great. Again, I really like Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
He hasn't missed yet.
Yeah.
Maybe he will with this one, though, because all video game movies are garbage. But maybe he'll be the first one.
Yeah.
But probably not. Maybe, though.
Let's bloody...
If I keep my expectations below rock bottom, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
That's right.
Or I won't. It'll still be bad.
Look, it's not going to be worse than Dungeons & Dragons.
Unless it is. Because at least... Dungeons and Dragons
has dungeons and another element
from like the role playing game, but unless you watch it, you don't know. But at least the first one was real dumb.
Yes,
and they sort of acknowledged it was real dumb. This doesn't look like it doesn't look like any of it's gonna be tongue in cheek. But maybe we're gonna be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Speaking of trailers, though,
yes,
X-Men Apocalypse new trailer.
Now, my reaction was, oh, this is pretty cool. I like we got a little bit of more of like, we see a little bit more of Apocalypse's origin. We see like some...
Gets his buddy celestial...
Yeah, some mutation, but then we see like some sort of high-tech thing.
Yeah.
Has he created that?
Is it alien?
Are we adding in the alien technology? Who's to say?
It's Bryan Singer, probably not.
It's looking pretty good. Your reaction was...
I said, I think I'm sick of comic book movies. No, I said, this is the kind of thing. And look, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
It looks great and flashy, but how this... I should be excited for this, but then I see Civil War and Batman, be Superman. This isn't... I mean, I'm not saying it may be better than both of those movies, but how does this distinguish itself? How does it make itself better than that? It's got that bloody sad... It's a sad pop song.
Yep.
The world is destroying again. Missiles in the sky. There's a guy who's going to kill everybody.
It did feel very disconnected from reality.
Mm.
This maybe the movie doesn't, but this particular trailer, it did feel the whole thing was taking place in some sort of...
Vacuum.
Yeah, some sort of pocket dimension of some sort.
Right.
Like the sky was a weird colour.
Yeah,
and everything's kind of CG around them.
Yeah.
We didn't see any real people kind of...
Okay,
and
sure.
And again, it's in this weird time stream... fork in the road kind of thing.
Is it the '80s? Yes.
And we know everybody lived.
Yeah.
So is this universe going to disintegrate at the end of this one, or are we going to go back to the regular X-Men universe?
I think it will be good. I have no enthusiasm for that trailer.
Because the other day, because you know, we're having X-Men Apocalypse. I was thinking back to X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking of all the inconsistencies.
Right.
Like, in this universe so far. And I remember thinking, how did Professor X, because remember in the third one, he was Professor X'd, he was disintegrated.
Yes.
And then he ends up in the body of
his brother, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if it was his brother, it was just a guy.
I think it was supposed to be his twin brother. Ah. I think it's implied. But even then.
Even then, but then he.
Why didn't his legs work? I guess they atrophied.
Maybe
the guy's in a coma.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'll look up the timeline. Big mistake. I'm like, because I just Googled, like, you know, X-Men 3, Xavier, blooper, or like.
And your laptop just went, no, and slammed down the figures and broke
and, there was just 100 articles with other inconsistencies in the timeline. It's just
no,
a mess.
Look, I don't have a problem with that because it's just this universe started before all of this stuff kicked off.
Yep.
Right? Like Marvel wouldn't and the DC universe wouldn't be as coherent if, you know, X-Men hadn't kind of set the, you know, started that kind of shared universe of X-Men and whatever. But I'm sure it'll be fine, but like, I like the villain of Apocalypse, but this looks just like a guy.
Apocalypse.
What did I say?
No, you said the villain of Apocalypse, just in case people don't know.
Okay, right. Yeah. Thank you, yes.
Yeah.
And I just think he's supposed to be this giant hulking monstrosity who can do anything, and all I see is a guy in a dream sequence swinging around a dude whose legs don't work. Like, do you know what I mean? And he's just yelling into the sky and maybe there's a tornado.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sure he'll do more, and I like Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah.
Who's great.
Apocalypse.
Apocalypse in the movie of the same Apocalypse.
Yep.
But I don't know. It's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just tired. I just watched a lot of Daredevil.
You seem very tired.
Okay. But speaking of Daredevil, is there any more? Oh, did you want to talk about the George Lucas?
I was going to say, I was hoping to smoothly segue into it from Star Wars, but the biggest Star Wars news of this week is that George Lucas was photographed eating lunch in a food court in Adelaide.
Yeah, more like Radelaide.
Yeah,
am I right?
Very good. Absolutely.
City of churches. Yes, please. It looks like just some kind of food court Chinese food.
Yeah, like some Chinese or a curry or something like that. He's reading the local Adelaide rag.
The Radelaide rag?
The Radelaide rag. Yeah. The Radelaide Radvertiser. But yeah, it's... So his wife is a businesswoman and she is one of the heads of DreamWorks.
Say, yeah.
And so she was in Adelaide for a conference.
Radelaide.
About being a rich CEO, I assume.
I didn't get invited to that. It's
weird, right? We're both internet celebrities, so it's very odd that we weren't. But I guess he must have been like, and he accompanied her, so I guess he must have been. My theory is that he was like, because I'm sure he's one of those guys that if he leaves the house in America, he is mobbed from the second leaves the house to the second where he gets, so he just doesn't go anywhere.
Mobbed or accosted.
Yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, or people just yell, Jar Jar, or whatever. So I reckon he's like, this is my chance.
Yeah.
No one will expect me to be here.
Yeah.
So I will just go out among people and have a little lunch in a food court and it'll be great. But then, like, underneath the article, there's just a lot of photos of, like, fans taking selfies with him and he's looking sad. He's like, my plan, it's come undone.
I wish. He doesn't have that, he definitely doesn't have that, what is it, anonymity is the word?
Yeah.
He's always kind of wanted it, though. Like, he's never been comfortable with, you know, the public spotlight.
Well, he certainly looks uncomfortable.
Despite his billions of dollars, like, I do feel for him, man, because I'm sure he just wants to live a normal life. Can you imagine going to a food court and people are just hassling you?
Yeah.
I mean, more so.
I love my food court time.
I hate a food court. I'm not going to lie. There's never
You haven't been to the right food court.
I've been to plenty of food courts, mate.
All right.
Name 7 of them. I'll tell you whether I've been there. The one at Crown Casino.
Okay, you been there?
It's garbage.
Greensboro Food Court.
It's terrible.
Doncaster Food Court.
Not as bad.
Northland Food Court.
Garbage.
Eastland Food Court.
Garbage.
Westfield. No, wait.
What's the ones in the city?
The Emporium Food Court.
Not
in the
bad.
City.
Not bad.
Thank you. There we go. In your face.
I'm sure some of those I haven't
anyway,
been.
This is our new segment, Food Court Talk.
That was close to 7, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, You know what we got to talk about?
Yeah.
Bloody Daredevil.
Yes.
Before we do that, another ad.
Okay, good.
We don't have to do that. Though, I should mention...
I was like, man, I'm unprepared for another ad, because I'm normally so prepared for the ads.
I'm doing...
You're always just like, geek fuel, go, and I'm like, what is it?
I'm actually doing for the first time this week to see how it goes. My Batman Superman video, I'm doing an Audible ad.
Oh, yes.
So just to test it out, because I'm worried that YouTube's going to shut down, I'm going to have no money, so I'm like, shit. I'm going to take all the money I can get. So, yeah, look forward to
YouTube
that.
YouTube is a...
bloody
crap. Like, it's a roll of the dice, isn't it?
It really is.
Like, so like, because if... the key is you get a lot of downloads and then, like, they pay you for views.
If they let you monetize the videos,
For whatever reason, somebody might be like, well, you've got a picture of the X-Men in there, so you can't monetize this.
We're taking three of your teeth.
Yeah. Exactly. And you have to get in first every time.
That's it. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, we'll just see how that goes.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's not going to be a regular thing. It might be every now and then. See how it goes. See how badly people react to it.
Of course. I'm going to predict very badly.
That's all right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
All right, Daredevil.
Let's talk about it.
We actually got through all 13 episodes.
Yes, we did.
Someone asked on Twitter, do we watch them together?
We do not watch them together.
No, we don't. We've got our own lives, don't we?
Sort of. We've both got sort of lives. So, yeah. I mean, obviously, we don't have enough lives that we can't watch 13 hours of a
TV
show
right.
over the course of 48 hours. But,
yeah, that's very, very true. So, we're going to do what we normally do with these things. We're aware that obviously, some people do have lives and haven't watched 13 hours of Daredevil. Well, it's not really 13 because they're like 40-minute episodes or whatever. I can do the math. Let me figure out exactly how many minutes
that'll be
of
very...
Daredevil.
No. I'll ask Siri.
Please do. So, yeah, we're going to do non-spoilers, spoilers. So we'll clearly mark when and it'll be in the time because I do timestamps now, Mason.
Yeah, you do.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll
you do the timestamps of an insane person. Like, you know that movie where Jim Carrey's obsessed with a number, whatever it is?
13? 43?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen
that
one.
That's how you do time codes.
Isn't he a saxophonist?
You scroll them all on your wall in your own blood.
Yeah.
/ feces, and then you put them in the episode description.
It turns out you can just do it as you edit it.
Huh.
I was like, that seems hard, but it's really not. It's really easy. So there you go. And people seem to
appreciate
it.
Lovers of time codes, look out. A whole new era has begun.
You know it. So here we go. Bloody, what's a thing? What do you think the story was of this season two of Daredevil?
Oh, no.
Again.
I didn't think we were doing this for TV shows.
Oh, yes.
Well,
I can't wait to ask you about what happened in Arrow this season.
Oh, no.
We're not doing an Arrow episode.
Great.
It's not happening.
Well, last season,
yeah.
Matt Murdock became a Daredevil.
He did.
A fully fledged Daredevil. He took down Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin.
Yep.
He drove the Yakuza out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Other things.
Yeah.
But this time around...
Billy Clubs.
More things are happening.
In a way.
More things are happening. There's fallout from all mobs. This crime fighting, all the mobs are...
They're trying to mob about.
They're trying to mob about. They're trying to become the best mob.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? They're going to be trying to become the king mob.
That's it. So there's a lot of that. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of things going on like that. And then you've got all sorts of... You've got this new kind of force in town, which turns out, spoiler alert, it's not a spoiler because it's in all the posters.
It's in all the posters,
it's the Punisher, and he's just systematically working his way through all the mobs.
All the mobs.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll become king mob.
Maybe. Is there really a character called King Mob?
No, it's from The Invisibles.
Okay, right.
It's a character called King, good, king good. Mob.
So yeah, there are kind of multiple plot points, and there's court cases, and there's a day in the life, and there's newspaper stuff.
It did
stuff
feel like a different vibe from the previous season.
Especially after the first, I want to say, four.
Yeah.
It kind of takes a shift.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed the pace of this one.
Okay, because it didn't just feel like one thing.
Yeah, I feel it would have been... Yeah,
it was multiple.
The last
arcs.
One, the last season was. I enjoyed it a lot, but I felt it was quite exhausting.
Yes,
but this one I didn't feel that at all.
I definitely didn't feel as exhausted. That being said, I still think this could be 8 to 10.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah. When you get to about episode 11,
yeah,
you're like, surely there's not more plot to this.
Yes,
that's how I feel about all these Marvel series so far.
And then there's more plot. There's normally more plot. A thing with a boat.
Yep,
and then it's on.
It's almost certainly a boat.
Yeah,
yeah.
So did you think all the multiple plots were all good?
Yes.
So you're happy with your bloody Foggy Nelson adventures and
Foggy Nelson. Is a lot better this season.
He definitely is a lot better.
He's come into his own as a fully fledged. He's one of those characters who'd be like, why are these two hanging out? And you go, okay, because he's a very good lawyer.
That being said, I do feel there's a lot of him where, like, Matt Murdock's always late to things.
Uh-huh.
And Foggy Nelson knows that he's Daredevil.
Right.
And then Matt's like, I'm so I'm late. I had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And Foggy's like, that's not good enough, Matt. And you made a commitment.
Yeah, and Matt's like, I've been all beaten up.
I've
been stabbed 3 times.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your excuses, Matthew. Mm. Like, dude, why don't you bloody chill out, all right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're not running around in the dark, rolling across a rooftop and getting punched in the face, are you? You didn't get shot in the head, which is maybe a thing that happens in this series.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers if when we get to the maybe. But it's, I've found not all the plots as engaging as others.
Oh, really?
Like the newspaper stuff. Like where they're trying to cover a bit about the past, about the Punisher. It's like, just bloody wrap this up.
I'll just wrap it up real quick.
Like this is 5 episodes long when it should be 1.
Well, see, that's because there are some elements to the plot where different people discover things at the same time.
And yes.
I felt that was more realistic.
Right.
In that.
I don't want realism.
No, but see, in a lot of these kind of shows, there's like a whole bunch of real dum-dums and one guy who figures out everything. And it makes more sense to me that, everybody's trying to figure out this one thing.
Yeah.
People come at it from different angles. The police come at it from one angle. Daredevil comes at it from another angle.
Usually punching.
Mostly punching and being stabbed.
Yeah.
And then the newspaper people come up from another angle and it all sort of comes together at the end. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It was like a real big episode of Seinfeld.
Exactly. Mm. Maybe a little... Yeah, so I'm not against the multiple storylines, but I want to get to more of that in spoilers. Mm-hmm. So the cast, as always, would you say is solid?
Yes.
Foggy Nelson's really, you reckon he's stepped up? He's a real
thespian? I think so, yeah.
Because I know for me, and I think for you as well, his acting, especially when he ramps it up last season, is a bit high school theater. Like
I think it's a lot better now.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Mm-hmm. So as far as new cast go, we've got like a few new villains, like a few new mob bosses. I guess we can't really go into them too much because the villains are kind of revealed as they go and certain characters show up. So we can't really touch on that yet. Would you agree with that?
I agree.
But the new Punisher we can talk about.
John Bernthal.
Yeah, what'd you think?
The best. Great.
Better than Ray Donovan? The TV
Stevenson.
Series.
It's better than watching an episode of Ray Donovan.
That's interesting.
Where he's some sort of fixer of something. I don't know what he does.
Not
Who's
sure.
to say?
Yeah.
People are like, oh my God, the show's so extreme. Is it? Is it?
In the first episode, I heard there's a thing he does to people called the bat or the bag. So you get a choice.
Uh-huh.
So he either hits you with a bat or in the bag, he's got some kind of paint and he like paints you green. And those are your options. And you pick. I'm not making it up.
Is it a live bat? No. Slaps you with it.
Slaps you with a What would you pick?
He's like, I can let this live bat loose in your room and you'll be real scared, but you can also put the bag on your head and then you won't be scared because you're a toddler. You don't understand object permanence.
New Punisher, you enjoyed him a lot.
I enjoyed him a lot. I mean, Ray Stevenson's Punisher is the Marvel Max Punisher.
Yes.
Who has, he's a murderous robot.
Yeah.
Like he has emotions to a degree, but he's just like, he's switched them all off.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm just going to mow down as many people in amusing ways.
Yes.
To amuse me and the reader and writer Garth Ennis.
Right. That's probably true. I mean, that is true.
But this guy's got a lot more depth.
He's definitely got more depth, and he's definitely got more of an emotional, like, you kind of get into his backstory and the way he's feeling.
Yeah.
Do you think that the violence is obviously toned down for this compared to that movie that we're talking about.
Is it though?
I think so.
What Punisher Warzone?
Like, there's less of it.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I think this is more brutal though.
Really, like, more kind of realistically brutal?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Like,
because there was
point
more,
blank shooting people.
Yeah, Punisher Warzone was cartoonishly violent.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yes.
There were a lot of people. There was somebody gets shot out of midair with a bazooka round.
Yes.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, this was definitely more, in terms of real visceral fist fighting and stuff, this was real good.
Sure, that's fair enough. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it lacked, for me,
yeah,
it lacked the over-the-top carnage of the Punisher. Especially when there's things that you think he's going to do and then he doesn't do. Which
oh, I see. We'll get to that. Yeah, we'll definitely get to that. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I did like him, though. Uh-huh. He's a little teeny for the Punisher, though.
I never really felt that.
No? Okay.
No, not really.
No, fair enough.
Mm.
I guess, what's his name? Thomas Jane wasn't enormous.
Yeah.
As the Punisher. Mm. And I actually don't mind his Punisher.
And I also enjoy, speaking of Thomas Jane as the Punisher,
yeah.
I enjoy in this version... He is a war veteran again.
Yes.
He's not a FBI agent or a cop.
Is that what he was in that one?
In the Thomas Jane Punisher, he was an FBI agent.
Okay, right.
Which is not the same.
No, it's
I mean,
really
I'm
not.
Sure they see some weird stuff.
Some aliens and the like.
Aliens.
Maybe a werewolf or two.
Probably a werewolf. But, yeah, like, the idea that Frank Castle is so mentally scarred because of just war and mob stuff and... Like that.
Yeah. Mm. Fair enough.
But also I felt that they didn't cop out by just going, oh, he's just crazy because of... Like,
no.
It's PTSD. You know? Everybody who has PTSD is crazy and is, you know, one step from shooting people up or
That's
whatever.
Right. They go to great lengths to explain why he is the way he is. And it's not really definitively it's this reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he chose to do it. Maybe it's a specific thing that happened
There's enough stuff that happened to him that it is a bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
But he is also one to stress that... War veterans aren't just all on a hair trigger and they're all just going to start shooting up criminals or whatever.
Yeah, you know? That's exactly
he is the way he is because...
A thing
we don't know. Yeah, thing we don't know. We don't know yet. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you think it was... So, did you think it was too long though? Do you think this could have been 10? 8? 4?
Could have been 10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think we're just going to get 13 forever?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Action-wise...
Yes.
In terms of all the action that was
had, yes.
A lot more fist fights.
Yes.
Maybe it's just because I haven't seen the first season since I first watched it. It's not the kind of thing that I'm like, I'll just cruise back in and watch 13 episodes. But especially compared to Jessica Jones, there's a lot more choreographed action in this. A lot more fights in a hallway.
Yeah.
There's one extended corridor stairwell and then maybe another corridor fight sequence.
I think these were some excellent fight sequences.
Totally,
The best so far in these Netflix series is... They're the best.
Yeah.
Daredevil, the first season was really brutal.
Yeah.
And it feels like, again, like if we've seen, you know, you think about Captain America.
Yeah.
In the first Captain America, he's a guy who fights like he's a boxer in the army kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's received some basic training. And then by Captain America 2, you know, he's received SHIELD special forces training.
He's doing flips and shit.
He's doing flips, exactly. And he's you know, he's a special forces guy. This felt the same way. Like in... The first season, Daredevil's a guy who's had a lot of training, but he's never really been in real fight situations.
Right.
And so actually being in a fight with multiple opponents where it is life or death is new to him.
Yeah.
But in this, he knows what's going on.
Yes.
He's very well prepared for this sort of thing.
And not only that, he's not just dressed in like a black skivvy.
Yeah.
He's actually armored.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got armored gloves and...
Yeah, he's very well prepared and it shows. Like this feels like a really good evolution.
Totally.
They didn't go, you know, it worked last time, exactly the same thing. They've clearly thought about it and gone...
Yep, yep, absolutely.
We need a more trained guy.
Yeah,
and
totally.
It looks great, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So There's actually one. I'm not going to talk about it. There's a thing that he gets towards the end. Yeah. We'll save that for spoilers.
Hemorrhoids.
Yes, he does. No, you really can't fault the action in this.
Not at all.
Although I did feel in this season there's a more kind of fist fights and ninjas and whatever for the sake of it. It's like, oh, look, it's another gang of criminals he has to beat up.
But I feel also more that it's a case of it's leaning a little bit more towards it being the Marvel Universe.
Right, right.
One of the issues I have with the first season of Daredevil and Jessica Jones is it could have been set anywhere. It could have been, I mean, it does help that it is a self-contained universe.
Yeah.
You don't want Daredevil getting into trouble and Thor just showing up and knocking everybody down or whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, especially with Jessica Jones, it was a great series and it was dark and it was action-packed and, you know, there were some real, you know, dark themes and important stuff to talk about. But it wasn't the Marvel Universe.
No.
There was almost no reference to it.
Yeah, little bits and pieces.
Little bits and pieces.
Characters here and there and newspaper clipping and whatever,
But like this one, I feel they're going, okay, well, this needs to be more.
Yeah. Marvel-y. I still think the first season of Daredevil had a lot more. Like you get like the Al Owsley and Kingpin and whatever. I still think it had, and there's a lot of like, remember what happened in New York? Kind of those kind of conversations.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I think, Jessica Jones definitely not as much.
Yeah, but this one I feel is more leaning towards, well, crazy stuff happens in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
People are constantly being attacked by ninjas.
Yeah.
Let's just throw it in.
See, I felt also that I need this to go further.
How do you mean?
I want to talk, we'll talk about more of this in spoilers, but I want more mysticism, more magic.
Uh-huh.
Because Daredevil, there's a whole lot of different things going on. I feel like this season is pretty much, it's not beat for beat the same season, but it just felt like more of the same.
Did you feel, some people on Twitter have said that it's a setup season.
A little bit, definitely.
It's a setup
for
something else, sure. Whether it be season 3 of Daredevil or the Defenders.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, definitely potential. I wouldn't say the whole thing is that, but the Punisher stuff doesn't have as much to do with it as you'd think.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm. So if you're going in thinking this is a strictly a Punisher series, it's really not. I think on the back of this, we'll definitely get a Punisher series.
Yes.
Like, I can't imagine they're not going to do that.
Yeah, in fact... The Punisher's story, the Punisher storyline goes in and out.
Yeah.
And the conclusion of the Punisher story isn't really where you think it's going to be.
No.
It doesn't end where you think it's going to be.
No.
It doesn't end when you think it's going to
end. No. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Mm. And I think maybe for the worse, I think personally. But maybe that's because we will see more of him.
Yeah.
Because he's more of a minor character, especially in the latter half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Than the other parts. But look, let's talk costumes.
Okay, great.
What costume would you wear at the Comic-Con if you had to pick one out of all these costumes? Probably the Electro one, yeah?
Yeah, it'd be real nice.
Yeah. So silky smooth. Let me think. So there's a new... You know what I love?
Yes.
The Daredevil gets some minor tweaks.
Yep.
He gets new gloves and a new helmet.
Uh-huh.
The new helmet is spectacular.
Yes, it is. It looks
it
great.
It is. Uh-huh. Like, I'm not 100%... I wasn't 100% sold on the helmet from the last season.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of like, yeah, no. It's okay, and it kind of grew on me a little bit. But this is amazing.
Yes, it is.
It just fits him. You know, it fits him perfectly.
Yep.
Doesn't have weird ear bits.
The mark of a good helmet is, in this kind of TV show movie, is you aren't just sitting there waiting for him to take it off so he doesn't look so ridiculous. Which has been the case for a lot of stuff. Again, Captain America's first couple of helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, when's he going to take that off?
More so the
real
Avengers.
Dumb.
Yeah.
The Avengers look real dumb.
Yeah.
When it comes off at like the 3/4 time mark, you're like, finally.
Thank God. Look at that beautiful hair.
Yeah, so
look
good.
Look at it flow.
But yeah, it looks very good.
Yeah, it's bloody dead on. It's way better than the other one from that movie. The leather one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and it's got the proper red eyes as well.
Yeah, that was
and
very good.
Yep. There's actually a moment where it's towards the end of the season where you see him go to put it on and it's got a little black hood over it. It's got like a ski mask kind of thing to it as well. So
okay. He
puts that on and then he slots the helmet over the top.
Good idea.
So it's got a weird black mesh.
Doesn't catch on his ears.
Exactly.
Yeah, good, great.
It's pretty clever, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was cool. What about Elektra?
Still doesn't have a DD.
No, he doesn't.
Is probably for the best.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I think we'll continue to see the suit evolve, though.
I reckon this is it.
You reckon?
Yep.
I don't know. I think we're going to see, like, maybe different armored chest plate or whatever.
Okay.
I think it'll change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The helmet, don't change it. Leave it.
Don't change the helmet.
Never change it.
Never change the helmet.
Maybe the color. Maybe a bit redder.
No.
Don't need to.
Not redder.
Don't change
too
it.
Too much red.
Less
weird,
red.
Weird red skull.
Yeah.
I've already got one of those.
That's exactly it. What about Elektra? Tradition, is it?
No, but that the comic book costume is very impractical.
You do kind of see it at one point. I'm not going to spoil when.
Uh-huh.
You see that comic book outfit. Uh-huh. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'll tell you in the spoilers.
Okay, great. Yeah,
let me just write that down so I
can. But I feel that outfit is very impractical.
Yeah.
Anybody who's worn it as a cosplay is always like, I got the bits on my leg and they're always falling off and then the weird rings around the leg and there's things and
I look like a gypsy with this bandana.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is like turtleneck.
It is.
Or is it a neckerchief? I don't know. I think it's built into the top.
You're
built into the top. I think we had this discussion.
Yeah,
didn't we
did. It's not a neckerchief or a snood. It's built into the top.
What about the Punisher?
Yes.
What about him, Mason?
Oh.
The outfit.
Well, again, the original Punisher outfit is a superhero outfit.
Yeah.
It doesn't work in the real world at all.
It's a spandex.
It's spandex. It's got white boots. It's got white gloves. It's got a white belt.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
A giant white skull.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... The Punisher Max is more trench coat, kind of tactical vest with a skull on it.
Yeah, he's gone through a whole bunch of stuff.
And this is kind of what... He doesn't... It's like the Daredevil...
This is what a madman with a gun would wear.
Yeah, that's right.
Pants and a t-shirt, an army jacket, and a gun.
Yeah, it's like the same way in the first season of Daredevil. He doesn't get the proper Punisher look until very late in the game.
Uh-huh.
So I guess if you're going in expecting that, you'll get it eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah,
this Punisher is a guy who doesn't want to be the Punisher.
No.
He just wants to do a job.
Though
and
he
get
does
out.
Scream it at one point.
Yeah, all right.
Not initially.
Yeah, but he was backed into a corner.
He certainly was, yeah. So, no, I really like it. I think it makes sense.
I was a little against the hair initially.
His other... It grows, though. Did you notice that?
Yeah
it gets a bit longer.
No, hair does grow on you.
Does it?
Yeah, it literally grows
on
you.
Oh, good.
But his hair literally grows on me. Wait, metaphorically. But initially I'm like, it's a little too cropped and it's weird and he's got the ears.
Yeah.
But you get used to
but
it.
But it does grow out. Like, it literally gets longer by the end of the season.
Huh.
So I'm trying to think. I think we should go into spoilers.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
In conclusion, if you've got Netflix, this is free to watch.
Yeah,
so
get into
just
it.
Just do it. Or if you don't have Netflix, the first month is free to watch.
So just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
It's great. And a good old time.
Geekfuels.com/weeklyplanet.
Action's great. But again, it is kind of, some people would say it's kind of a setup in season.
I will say this.
Yes.
I thought the Punisher's backstory was way too complicated.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Like, it's just like, it's a series of conspiracies within conspiracies.
Yeah, so the Punisher's origin, for anybody who doesn't know it, in the comics is he was a soldier in Vietnam, which they've updated to Iran, Afghanistan, etc. Yep.
Whatever the war is,
he's come back from that. He's having a picnic with his family in the park.
Yeah.
There's a mob hit and everybody in his family is killed except him. And then he swears revenge.
Is the mob hit on him?
No, it's between two mobs.
They just get
caught in the middle.
So some of that obviously remains.
And then he's like, well, I'll just declare war on the mob.
Yeah.
But in this, there's way more layers. And you're saying maybe unnecessary?
I'm saying definitely unnecessary.
Okay.
Because he kind of looked like a buffoon as well. Like, he's just kind of like, what's happening? Who did this?
Right. Like, sure. Okay.
You know, and I just think, why complicate something that is super not complicated? At least I didn't ever see where his son hands him a shirt with a skull on it.
He says,
"This will protect you, Dad."
And he's like, "Why would I possibly wear that?
Come on, get
why out would of I wear that while you're
I'm
alive?
I'm just a family man. I'm just a family man now."
Okay. Now I see what you're saying. I appreciated the extra detail again because it adds to this ambivalence of why this man would continue to do this, especially once. You know, if this is a guy who wants to avenge his family, once that's done, why does he keep doing it?
Right.
And I think they've added enough elements where you go, okay, well, maybe he would just continue this crusade forever.
Because he don't trust no one.
Yeah.
All in all, I will say best series ever.
Okay, yeah.
That being said, I want more bloody mysticism. I want to see something. It's a lot of just running around in the dark.
Yeah, I think if we get a season 3 of this, there's going to be more mysticism.
I want to see more mysticism. I want to see less bloody backstories of newspapers and lawyers.
Do you
want to
see more ninjas
stuff?
More ninjas. Or fewer ninjas?
About the same amount of ninjas is fine.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
I would want to see fewer ninjas.
Yeah.
Or a whole bunch of ninjas that are dispatched in a way you dispatch a whole bunch of people if you have a really big gun.
Well,
you
let's bloody
mean?
Get to that
let's
right now.
Let's get to that right now.
Spoilers. What?
Every promo of this with the Punisher has featured him holding wielding a minigun in a threatening manner. And if you don't know what a minigun is, it's one of those guns.
It's not as mini as you think.
It's not as mini as you think. It's called a minigun because it's the mini version of the gun they put on fighter planes. It's the one they hang it off a helicopter. It's got six barrels. It's got a lot of bullets.
If you've seen The Predator or The Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Or another movie with a minigun.
And the rule is, if you see a man with a minigun.
Chekhov's minigun.
Chekhov's minigun. He'd better use that minigun by Act 3. And you know what? He doesn't.
Not only that, he goes into a room filled with guns.
Yep.
And a minigun. And you see it.
He looks at the minigun.
It pans on, his fingers twitching.
Yeah. And then, at the end of, like, in the final episode, we see Daredevil and Elektra.
Yep.
They're on a, they're in a building, and they're like, there's 50 ninjas coming this way.
Yeah.
There's 50 ninjas coming this way. Let's go on the roof and deal with the 50 ninjas. Maybe we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And that whole fight, I'm like, they're going to get surrounded by ninjas.
Yep.
And they're going to be like, there's no way out. We're going to die. And the Punisher's going to show up on the rooftop and minigun everyone. And he doesn't. And you know what even happens? We see this 50 ninjas like come up. Like we see them coming up stairwells and approaching the building. When it comes to the actual fight on the rooftop, there isn't 50 ninjas.
No, there's like
12 ninjas.
18, yeah.
Maybe the Punisher minigunned them all off camera. But then maybe
not.
Daredevil would have heard that.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Anyway, in terms of, I had hoped to bring back our sometimes recurring segment, Meso's Minigun Minutes, where I talk for a minute about how good the minigun was in this film.
Yes.
Or TV series.
That's right.
Bad. Bad experience with a minigun in this series.
One of the worst?
One of the worst.
Yeah, worse than a CGI minigun.
Worse than a CGI minigun. Worse than a scene where there's a minigun and somebody's just spraying it wildly at a van or like the jungle or whatever, and it never hits anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Worse than that because he never even fires it.
I think no minigun is better than a CGI minigun. With a CGI muzzle flash and CGI bullets.
Yeah,
all
right.
And obviously, it's CGI bullets. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People not getting cut in half and whatever.
I even hope, because the action sequence ends, like that fight sequence, and I click the Netflix and it's like, oh, there's 8 minutes to go or something like that. And I hope there would be a scene where, like, another gang shows up in the city.
Yeah.
And they're like, now that these guys are dead, now the Irish are dead and the biker gangs will take care of it. And then the door just kicks in and the Punisher just miniguns everybody.
Yes.
But he doesn't. Boo!
Boo!
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable minigun behavior.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about,
there's nothing left to talk about, but all right.
Yes. Well, the Punisher's backstory, like, I know I mentioned that before, so even wrapping my head around this, he was in the middle of a mob hit, which was also a DA undercover sting
operation, yeah.
But which was also, the whole thing was orchestrated by his colonel, who, they were after him because he's really the blacksmith, who's some kind of heroin dealer mob boss.
Yes.
And the Punisher is executed intentionally or unintentionally.
I don't know.
Yeah. See what I'm talking about?
That may have actually been a coincidence.
Yeah, he was just pinged in the head.
Yeah.
So
it may have been a coincidence that he was there.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Right?
Exactly. And maybe that's something they're going to explore further, but it just,
I get the sense that because there's that sequence where the colonel is in the courtroom and he's like the Punisher, you know, not the Punisher. Frank Castle is the greatest man I've ever known.
I'm the guy from Highlander.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's the greatest man I've ever known and his bravery and blah, blah, blah. I feel maybe that was his way of going, you know, I'll get the Punisher out of this.
Yeah.
As sort of some sort of penance for getting him shot, his family killed in the first place.
Fair enough.
Thing. Like maybe to him, maybe it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, I'll somehow get him out of this and distance myself from it and we can both go our separate ways kind of thing.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Maybe. Like we don't really know.
Yeah. I mean,
like for 13 episodes, it wasn't a very definitive kind of, it could have just been a coincidence that he was there. Maybe somebody explicitly said it, but he seemed like he was just on a picnic and there was a sting there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't fucking know, man. All right. The Billy Club.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. It's got a bloody grappling hook. He does a swing at one point. I want to see more of that in the future.
Mm.
More Billy Club swinging.
His mates come through again. What's his name?
Melvin.
Melvin's come through
bloody
again.
Bloody gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else we saw?
Mm.
Season 1, we were in Melvin's workshop. We see the stilt man legs.
Yeah.
this season we see the Stiltman legs and the Stiltman torso.
Yes.
So by the end of season 3, we'll have a fully assembled Stiltman suit and Idris Elba can finally take his place.
Hashtag Idris the Stiltman.
Thank
Idris
you.
Idris the Stiltman. The yes. Stiltman, yeah.
As Stiltman, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely, it will be. How many people tweeted you the Stiltman thing?
Not as many as you think. Yeah, okay, I think people were engrossed in the action.
Good stuff. Mm. I think the whole character, I like Karen Page.
Uh-huh.
I think the actress is really good. I think that genuinely she's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like they went, oh, Ben Urich is dead because
we
choked him out last season.
We need a plucky journalist.
So it's just like, can she even write? Like, it's never kind of specified.
Well, she never really writes anything until right at the end.
Yeah, like, that's exactly it. She just kind of mopes around the office and she's on her own kind of Punisher investigation. Uh-huh. And I just don't think...
I think she did quite well, though. Because that speech at the end, she was writing that speech.
Yeah, I'm not saying she can't do it, but, like, why would he give her that job? And not only... I guess she was friends with Ben.
Yeah.
But I just felt that whole story was
just... Don't you know a journalist, though?
Yeah.
And he...
You
know a journalist.
I do.
And he did a lot of crime reporting.
Yes.
And what was his job before that?
Fruiterer.
And why did he get the job?
Well, I can't go into specifics.
Okay.
But basically, he knew a guy who I knew.
Yes.
Who got killed. And I'm not going to go into any more
detail. By organized crime.
Yeah, maybe. It's.
So your friend is the Karen Page of real life. And you're saying that Karen Page is unrealistic.
No, I'm not saying it's unrealistic. I'm saying it's... Yeah, okay, sure. But I'm also saying it's unnecessary.
Okay,
by the way, that's as vague as I'm going to get. I'm not getting any more specific on that story. But that story is just completely nothing. Like, why are you doing it?
Oh, as in, like, the Punisher's a man. And he's like all
of
us.
And the article at the end...
He wants to be happy,
but the article at the end was like...
His family got machine gun, like all of us.
What a crap article. It was just like, you know who's... Well, if you look in the mirror, you're a hero. You don't have to be a guy flying to be a hero.
That was a bit vague.
Because it's bloody Hell's Kitchen and... We're all heroes. Look, you're just people who live somewhere. We all bloody live somewhere. It's not a big deal, all right?
Like, yeah, but New York.
That's
the worst part of New York.
Well, it was, but apparently it's very nice now.
Yeah.
But I guess this is in the timeline where the Chitauri invasion happened.
Yeah.
And Ultron...
And that dropped all kinds of land values.
I bet. Yeah. And bloody Ultron probably kicked over a bunch of shit. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Foggy... Fine. He did really good at lawyering.
Yeah, he did.
But again, why are you such a big baby about Matt Murdock not turning up to things?
That's true.
Like, why don't you understand that he's out at night fighting ninjas while you're getting drunk in a bar? You idiot.
good point.
Like, cut that's him some bloody
slack. That's your leisure time. That's his leisure time.
Exactly.
Just let it go. But again, Foggy doesn't show up late. I feel if one person you know, if you're a regular person and you know your friend is a superhero,
right.
I feel you should meet halfway.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You should accept that they're going to be out superheroing, but your superhero friend should also accept that maybe he should do.
What
his
if
best
someone's
to show up
been stabbed? What if say you're a superhero,
what
right?
What if the law's being stabbed metaphorically?
But say you're
what if justice is being stabbed. What if Lady Justice is being stabbed right in the butt by crime?
But if you're a superhero, right, and you're late for the podcast,
yeah,
and I'm angry. Say you're like at 3 hours late.
Oh,
I don't know, and then you're like. There's someone I know got stabbed.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to be like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. All right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
I'd be like, who was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. I don't like that guy.
Mm.
So,
that's a very good point, actually.
Stunt-wise, I just want to get into this. There's a bit at the end where she fights, Elektra fights a Frenchman.
Oh, yes?
And you can see it's clearly...
Is he someone significant? Because I didn't recognize him. Jacques Duchamp.
Yeah, he's there was a character called Duchamp.
Yes.
But it's not him.
Okay.
I don't think it's him. I nearly put in my Easter egg video, but I didn't.
A lot of people, because you don't get his name initially, because it was in an airport, a lot of people assumed he was Frenchie, who was Moon Knight's pilot.
Right, right, right.
And confidant.
Maybe he was.
I don't think he was.
Probably not, because he's dead too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a bit where you see his wig kind of flopping around when it's not him. So, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Stunt's really good.
You have excellent wig dar, though. Your wig dar is a lot better
than most
people.
My wig dar's second to none.
So.
You know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
The costume Electra, I was talking about, at the end when she's dead.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. She's in that weird
they wrap her up
sarcophagus.
In robes kind
of
thing.
And it looks like a red silky kind of
outfit.
Oh,
I see. That
outfit.
Makes sense. Right. Okay.
I'm doing
it. I get it. Yeah.
You understand.
Yeah.
But and after it turns out that she is the Black Sky, which is a... What?
Nothing. No, it's nothing, I don't think. I think it is Like, we assumed it was going to be some sort of big bioweapon or like
a
magical thing.
Well, in the first season,
yeah,
it's like a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Or they have a black sky because I guess there's a few of them.
And he's got some sort of metahuman power.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Stick just wants to go kill him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Maybe he does. I can't remember.
Maybe he's more of a... Because also, in this season, we get the kids that are being drained of their blood.
Yeah.
And then they get...
Refilled with different blood.
With something, and then they get their blood taken out again. Clearly, that is powering that resurrection machine.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah, well, she's coming back.
Yeah.
Like, there's...
I mean, a comic book Electra has died and come back.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. What do you think of the idea of a resurrection machine in Marvel?
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Especially because it's a very specific...
There you go.
You have to have a whole bunch of people.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It would only work on certain people, I'd imagine.
And if you get your head chopped off,
it
probably won't work.
Probably won't work on you again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all these... I didn't like the way that it was... It wasn't mystic enough.
Okay.
And now I'm looking forward to Iron Fist.
Yeah.
Because I want to see more bloody mysticism. I want to see less bloody fights in alleys and on rooftops.
Do you think they're going to go full mystical with Iron Fist?
I bloody hope so.
Because
I don't
Iron
think
Fist was trained in like the mystical city of Kunlun, which is like, it doesn't exist in our universe kind of thing. It's like in a pocket dimension. And
yeah.
Do you think they're going to do any of that?
I think they'll do a variation on it. But I would like to see an ancient city of some description. Like, I know it's all this is ground level superheroes in Hell's Kitchen and whatever. Like, I know that.
Uh-huh.
But don't you think this is going to get a bit bloody samey when every year or every 6 months we're going to get 13 episodes of people trudging around an alley and getting attacked by ninjas.
What I hope for is that every season we're going to have the Punisher show up with a promo image of him with some exotic weapon that he never uses. That'll just build my rage every few months. Oh, he's got a flamethrower. I wonder who he's going to blast with a flamethrower.
He's riding that nuclear bomb with a cowboy hat. So
Oh my god, he's got a flamethrower and all the bad guys are running through a cornfield. Oh, there's like 100 bad guys running through that cornfield. Oh, he's gonna blast the cornfield with a flamethrower. They're all gonna go up. Oh, they just went through the cornfield and they jumped into a lake. He can't get them now. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, more mysticism and more explained mysticism.
Okay,
I think they shouldn't be afraid to be like, because they were kind of like, people get resurrected. And then they didn't really explain
it. That's true, they didn't, yeah.
Yeah, so more of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I thought was odd, but I'm okay with it?
Yes.
Whenever Daredevil needs it, there's always a length of pipe or a bit of metal on the ground that he can, like, club a guy with.
Hey, it's New York, man.
That's true.
Yeah.
But really kind
of... Speaking of, and this was tweeted to me within 5 minutes of the series starting
by
a whole bunch of people, that there is... A woman does get the amazing honor of being
the hey asshole,
a character in New York who bumps into another character and goes, hey asshole, which again is my dream role, to be in anything.
That's right.
I get to yell hey asshole
so
at somebody.
If you're listening, somebody, anybody who's
making
anything.
If you're a casting agent of some kind.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it New York style?
Ideally, if I could do it New York style in New York, that would be great because that is the home of hey asshole.
It certainly is.
But
yeah.
I guess I could do it anywhere.
Yeah, you can do it anywhere. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the home of like Hollywood rudeness in a city. Is you go to New York, you're on the run from something like a murderer.
Yeah. Or maybe you're just walking a blind man, which is what this was.
Yeah. Like you're obviously at some sort of disadvantage.
Yeah.
You bump somebody who does not care and calls you an asshole. I love it. So good.
Luke Cage teaser. Apparently it plays afterwards, but I just went on YouTube.
No, I went the whole way through and it
didn't play.
Not mine,
okay,
not.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's only...
Again, I went all the way through the credits hoping for somebody to get minigunned and nobody did.
I can't believe you're so okay with this season after there was no minigunning. I feel like you're happy with it that you should.
Maybe we'll get some. Look, I'm hoping for like a Marvel one shot.
Right.
That they release.
They talked about bringing them back, actually.
Yeah, I hope so.
So, yeah. I saw everything this week about it.
I say we start a campaign to bring them back.
Just for the minigun one.
Just for the minigun
one.
And
then cancel it again.
You know what I hope for is maybe a Marvel one shot and we think it's going to be the origin of some villain. They're like, finally, we're going to get this character. And then they show up, they have their origin, and Frank kicks the door and just miniguns them. And they do like four in a row.
There seems like there is a guy.
Or maybe they do. We call it Punisher Roulette.
Yeah.
Right? And basically, there's like four villains that are going to, maybe that'll make their origin in the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
And we vote on all of them. You don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
And then they release the four one shots and Frank Castle miniguns three of them and one survives.
That would be incredible.
Yeah,
there should be a moment in every one of them.
Yeah.
Where they turn towards the door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a
pause.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then the minigun. Except there's that one where there's a pause and then they just go, anyway. Yeah. Because there's no minigun.
Yeah.
But maybe there's one to fake out where then they get miniguns.
Oh, so good.
There's so many possibilities. Oh. Bring back the minigun one shot.
That's right.
Or invent the minigun one shot.
Please.
Man. Do you think we're going to get these Daredevil guys showing up in Civil War for one?
Yeah.
Probably not. But what do you think?
Like Daredevil? Are we going to see Daredevil? Yeah. No, we're not.
What about in Infinity War?
Yes.
I think almost certainly.
I think we're going to have to...
They're being pretty cagey. Luke cagey.
I think we're going to have the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy in space doing Infinity War stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think we're going to have Mayhem on Earth.
Right.
And we're going to have the Defenders...
Of the Earth.
Of the Earth.
Theme song for the Defenders of the Earth. Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Out of the sky, his rockets ignite. Jets into battle, flying faster than light. Flash Gordon, Lord of the Jungle, the hero who stalks. The beasts call him brother, the ghost to war.
Defenders of the Earth. Defenders. Dun dun. And then we're going to have them on Earth, New York style, protecting everybody in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Good stuff.
What do you think of Wilson Fisk appearing in this?
Oh, great.
Mm.
He looks like a big baby in his big onesie,
doesn't he? Yeah, big baby in his onesie.
looks like a big egg-headed baby. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, yeah.
He's less kind of like a big baby in this than he was in the last season.
That's true.
Where he's kind of like, my dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shut up.
I think it was the right blend of like being a gentleman and just incredible menace. And also beating people to death. Yeah.
Being a gentleman and beating up a blind man.
Yeah, those things.
Do you think he's on to Matt Murdock?
Probably because he does say...
Get all the Matt Murdock files.
He doesn't say get all the Daredevil files. Yeah. He says Matt Murdock files. So I think he's figured it out.
That Daredevil's Matt Murdock.
Yes.
Because he took that bloody punch.
Yeah. I think that Matt Murdock did play that really well.
Like he kind of stumbled out and was like, kind of don't
help me. Yeah, he could have. Again, he's a guy in a prison cell.
Yeah.
Like, and again, this is Wilson Fisk, and he doesn't have the armored suit, and he doesn't have all the et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So I think Daredevil could have taken him.
Yes.
But he didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Good.
What do you think about Matt Murdock's flashback hair?
Oh, sure. Good.
It's very cut out.
Yeah, Do you think that was real hair, or do you think that was a wig?
I think that was real, just flattened out.
Okay, great. Look,
I am an expert, but I have been wrong before.
Mm.
They give him an increasingly series of dumb glasses in flashbacks.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, which is... Stick came back.
Yeah, he did.
The guy who's not Lance Hendrickson.
Or David Carradine.
Yeah. What's his name?
Don't know.
Bloody hell, I should know that. I'm going to look it up. Daredevil.
Hey, Siri, who plays Stick in Daredevil?
I don't like the way you're doing this. Scott Glenn.
Damn it!
Ha!
Siri doesn't... It's your Wi-Fi. I blame your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, it's been really terrible today. Maybe get off my bloody Wi-Fi then.
All right, fine.
Yeah, what do you think about Stick's vague war?
It's a bit vague, isn't it?
He's just kind of building an army.
He's just kind of a jerk generally.
Yeah.
I'm glad he got all those sticks under his fingernails.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just spill the beans, you idiot.
Yeah.
Spill the beans, be specific. People are dying.
Yeah, that's right.
Just say, the black sky is this.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bloody... And then he was like, don't go fight the ninjas on the rooftop.
Is the black sky... Is it part of a prophecy?
Again, I don't know. Like, all of this shit is it's too vague.
Right.
It's not mystic enough. Like, go for mysticism or don't, at this point. Uh-huh. You've done a season of vague mysticism.
Yeah.
Madame Gao punched Daredevil across the room, and then she showed up for, like, a minute in this.
That's true.
Like, what are we building towards here?
I think at this point we're going to have to, because, again, it is a world of crazy superheroes and what have
you.
We're gonna have to go through that barrier at some point.
I think
I feel that this is a good level of easing everybody into it.
Yeah, well, I think
it should be more. No,
I think it will be. Now, I just had this thought that we're getting Doctor Strange this year.
Yeah,
and after that, then they
all
can
bets
go
are off.
Boom.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
On. So maybe that's what they're kind of waiting for.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can set no trends. So you know, I'm sure they're doing amazing things over at ABC.
Unlikely.
Luke Cage is next.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
Yes.
I like that guy a lot. Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. I was a little bit disappointed with the season. It didn't drag.
Uh-huh.
Well, sometimes it did. But I just... Not enough Daredevil-ing.
Okay.
Like, why? I want more Matt Murdock.
If we're talking about, we didn't really get into in depth into the action sequences.
Right.
There are some amazing ones.
Yeah, definitely.
That's, so we, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about comic book characters we'd like to turn into R-rated movies.
Yes.
We brought up Moon Knight.
Yes.
Because there is a, in the Warren Ellis storylines, like the start of the reboot of Moon Knight, there's an amazing sequence where he goes up a tenement building and he fights a whole bunch of people.
It's great.
To get to the roof. And there is it episode 3 or 4 maybe of this one?
Yeah.
He does it in reverse.
He does. He goes down a
So there's the sequence where he's going to take the Punisher down in the lift.
Yeah.
And then the lift doors are closing.
Yeah.
And then we see the bad guys hassling the old man, like they're going to beat up this old man. And he's like, all right, well, I'm not going down in the lift. The Punisher's going down in the lift. I'm not. I'm going to fight all these guys. And then he has to commit to fighting every single person all the way down. I thought that was great. Again, because the Punisher was like, you're never going to do this. Like, there's no way out of this. He's like, I'll prove you wrong.
I'll bloody do it.
And then
he bloody does it.
Amazing. I love that.
Did you? Oh, there was,
I'm going to go back and rewatch that.
That just that right sequence. Now. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. All right, see you later.
Okay.
Okay. No, not really.
Not on my Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That, did you like the Daredevil Punisher roof stuff? It's from that comic. I think it's a choice.
Oh, where he ties his, yeah, he ties him up and he ties the gun to his hand. Yeah, that was straight out of the comic. That worked. Good. That was really good.
Do you like how the Punisher shot Daredevil in the head?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Did you think he knew that wasn't, I think he knew he wasn't going to kill him.
Oh, maybe. I see, what I thought was initially a bit weird about that character, I felt he seemed like there was too much glee. When he shot him in the head, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like this character.
Yeah,
maybe he didn't intend to kill him.
Yeah, I don't think he did. Because I think he's even said, he mentions it after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. If he wanted to kill him, he probably would.
Yeah.
Maybe the glee was like, look at this idiot in his devil costume.
Yeah.
I'll get him out of the picture kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll just scramble his brains.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. I did find that bit really terrifying where Matt Murdock's hearing disappeared.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing became of it. I thought that was going to happen more through the season.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Like it would kind of go in.
I think it was just a concussion.
Yeah, yeah. Probably when he was shot in the head.
Yeah, probably because of the bullet to the head.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Is that all we're going to say? I feel like there's probably more to this than 13 hours because it's considering it's 13 episodes.
But yeah, yeah.
What do you say about a show, Mason?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. What is the... So we got the Luke Cage teaser. What is he doing? Because he has to go from bar owner to hero for hire.
Yes.
How is that happening, do you think?
He's probably just moved next door. Probably a little office.
Probably a little office, little bounty hunting office.
Well, his bar exploded.
So he doesn't have a bar anymore. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he's just looking for work.
Yeah. We did watch that teaser. And he's getting riddled with bullets. And I'm like, I wonder how much clothing he goes through. And then he's like, I'm sick of people shooting holes through my clothes. And
Mason, like, he turns directly to camera.
He turns directly to me, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, no, cool.
Imagine the Punisher shoots Luke Cage with a minigun.
That would
imagine
be incredible.
That. I just watch
And Luke Cage is surrounded by ninjas, so it's just pinging
off him. Mate. I just watch a VFX reel of just that. Of just Luke Cage being shot with a minigun. That'd be so good.
I don't know if he's that... Could he survive a minigun?
Because
he takes that shotgun blast to the head.
Oh, and that does him some damage, doesn't it? Maybe, yeah, maybe not.
It'd probably stumble.
Oh, yeah.
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 Especially if you hit him in the balls.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That'll do it.
Hopes and dreams. Daredevil in the future.
Oh, yeah, more magic stuff.
More.
Where can we go with that? Like,
I'd like to see him travel the world a bit. I know he's based in Hell's Kitchen, but...
He's from New York. He lives New York.
I know, but...
He comes to New York. He's in New York. It's in his blood. New York's in his blood. You can't leave.
Which comic...
You belong to New York.
Which comic arc is he where he goes to France or something? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
He goes to France and he's like, where's little New York? Where's the New York district?
I just want to see... Like, maybe he goes to Asia and there's some mysticism.
Oh, sure.
Shit.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Maybe, okay. You know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
I'd like to see him fist fight with Iron Fist.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing, right?
That would be amazing. Yeah. Who's bloody taking out bins out there?
I don't know.
Some idiot's forgotten to take their bins out.
What an idiot.
I've done it.
Yeah, good.
I've done it already.
All right.
All right. Let's do the latest segment of the show.
Wait, don't we have another segment?
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do the watch me reading start.
We can do it in any way you want.
I don't think we can.
Okay, great.
I'd have to... Well, it's about the same level of editing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And you got to be ready, remember? You got to be on... Because we're seeing how quickly you can get that bloody...
That's right.
Theme up. But no, we're going to do what we read in.
Oh, yeah. What we're going to read.
I'm doing the theme. What are we reading today?
Pretty good. What are you reading this week?
I'm watching a thing.
Yes.
I've started watching Friday Night Lights, which is a show from 2007. It's Taylor Kitsch, and he's really, really good, actually. Because I've made the proclamation once that Taylor Kitsch is the acting equivalent of a horse filled with bees.
Great.
But like, you put him in your movie, and you're like, what a great actor. It's like you put a horse in a race, and you're like, what a great horse. And then you poke it, and it's filled with bees, and it ruins your horse race. Or movie.
No, I disagree completely. Imagine you're a guy and you bet on the ponies every week.
Sure.
And you do that and you're like, oh, he's another race. Who cares? I'm just looking at my betting slip and my numbers, and then somebody pokes that horse and it's filled with bees and everybody gets attacked by bees. Wouldn't that brighten up your day a bit?
I think you'd be like,
unless you bet on that horse.
Exactly. Or any of the other horses. Oh, they would have scratched the race, wouldn't they? And you're out for the day.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's really good. I've sold that guy short because he's good, also good in True Detective season 2, but that's not a great season, but he's good in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the only odd thing about it. It's weird that I like American football shows and movies, even though I have no concept of what the sport is,
right?
Other than people just running into each other.
I mean, it's weird that our versus episodes are set on an American football field when we've never set foot on an American
That's very true. But it has got that old 90s TV trope of all the teenagers are like enormous 35-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
And when you see a real teenager in it, you're like, whoa. Like,
sure, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Like, kind of thing. But it's kind of uplifting and depressing, and it's a bloody roller coaster of small town emotions.
Ugh.
But yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to read two things. Mm. I'm like one page into a novel, an actual novel. I'm bloody reading it. It's called the First 15 Lives of Harry August.
Yes.
And it's the plot is it sounds a bit Edge of Tomorrow. Basically, it's about a guy called Harry August.
Yes.
And he lives his life, and then when he reaches the end of his life and he dies, he returns to life as a child, but he has perfect memory of what happened to him in that life.
Right.
He moves through life again.
Yeah.
Like, and he also encounters other people who have this ability as well.
Right.
And they're,
right.
They're in like a club called the Kronos Club.
Right.
And then there are all these people who are living their life over again. It's and again, I'm only like a couple of pages into it, but it seems a bit Edge of Tomorrow, but it's kind of more fun and whimsical.
Cool. So, what's it called? Harry August.
The First 15 Lives of Harry August.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And does he die different ways each time, I assume?
Well, I don't know. I'm only a couple of pages in.
Tell me.
If you have read that, let me know how it goes. No spoilers. Not you.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. At Wikipedia Brown.
Just let me know what it's like. Yeah. No spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah, okay. Some spoilers. You can spoil it.
Goodreads says it's very good. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And Goodreads hates everyone.
That's so true.
Also, what I'm reading.
You're reading two things, you said.
Well, I'm not really reading it, but Melbourne Comedy Festival starts this coming week.
Yeah.
The Melbourne International
Comedy Festival. Your favourite time of the year.
My favourite time of the year.
Yeah.
If you're in Melbourne.
I am.
Not you. Mm. Although you. See some shows is my recommendation.
Yeah.
My recommendation is always, because a lot of people, A, don't know comedy festivals on, and B, just go to one show.
Right.
It's like 400 different acts on. So my tip for you is go see somebody you know, like a big name.
Yeah.
And then before or after that, just
take a big shot.
Yeah, big shot. Yeah. And just take a chance on somebody you don't know. And so this, I might recommend like one person every week.
Excellent.
Of the 4 weeks. This week, I'm going to recommend
a
friend of mine.
Yeah.
Very funny comedian, host of the podcast Pop Quiz Hot Shot.
And Michael.
And It's a Duck Blur. Podcast that's about Duck Blur, about DuckTales for some reason.
Yeah.
That's not what it's called. But Michael Williams, Michael Williams, he's doing a show this year called An Evening with Michael Williams, Who is Trapped Under a Boulder. So he's doing an hour of stand-up whilst trapped under a boulder. He's a very, right?
That's very
sells
good.
Itself.
It really does. What kind of boulder? It's like a paper mache. You'll have to go see, I guess.
Maybe the boulder talks to him. You don't know. Maybe he's a funny little
boulder. Are you the boulder?
No, I'm not the boulder. I have nothing to do with the show. But it's the first 2 weeks of the festival, so it's the 24th of March till the 3rd of April.
Every night?
Not Mondays.
Not Mondays?
Yeah.
Right.
But it's at, hang on. I've got some details. 9:45 at Trades Hall.
Right.
And what you probably, if you've listened to the podcast, I've been on a couple of his, if you haven't seen him before, he's very funny on a podcast, but he also, when you see him live, he does a lot of visual stuff.
Right.
Like a lot of visual gags, a lot of animation, there's cartoons, there's graph jokes. I know you love graph jokes.
I'm not familiar with graph jokes.
You know, jokes with graphs.
No, I know what a graph is, I've never seen
anyway,
one.
Anyway, he's great. He's one of my favorite. I try to see him every festival.
Yeah.
Also, if you're going to book tickets, You go to comedyfestival.com.au. You input the code DuckBlur, one word, 2-for-1 tickets.
2-for-1?
2-for-1 tickets.
You can get 2 tickets for 1.
Yeah.
I get ya.
That's how it works. You get it.
That sounds great.
Anyway, I go to that show. There's also heaps of others. Steel Saunders is doing some live shows.
He is, yeah. He's doing a couple. He's doing the Star Wars ones, and he's doing the Green Guard ones.
Yeah,
totally. He's doing the Star Wars one every Saturday.
Every Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the Green Guard ones, though, but bloody check him out. And you might be going on one of those, mightn't you? Is that right?
I'll be at everything.
No, I mean, you might be on...
Oh, he hasn't asked.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, he mentioned that to me. That he's, oh, no, maybe. Have you done something? Did you murder his family?
I murdered his whole family.
That's probably why I didn't mention it again, do you? Great. Well, let's do some letters.
Let's do letters. Oh, God. Oh, no. What's it? No. Wait.
I'm not going anywhere.
We're doing this. Look, we're doing it.
Might have this.
How are we
going to
do it, please? Look, we have fun on the show, don't we? Maybe I can recommend some other stuff.
Do you have anything else?
No. Letter sign. Somebody tweeted at me.
Seamless.
Somebody tweeted at me, hey, why don't you get the MP3 of that and put it on your phone so you don't have to time
load
that
it every time
and put it through the Wi-Fi? Where's the challenge?
That's a
My
good
challenge
point,
is to find it on YouTube and get it up super quick, smart, and one day I'll nail it. Anyway, we're doing letters.
Here we go.
Email at us at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or hashtag theweeklyplanet on Twitter.
That's right. That's probably the better way to do it because I normally do 2 tweets and 1 Gmail.
Nice.
Here we go. This is from @DarthVanquish. After Apocalypse in 2016 and Darkseid in 2017, will Thanos feel like a retread in 2018?
Oh, because they're all like weird purple-faced men.
We said it's the era of the weird grayish-blue hulking gray guy. Yeah.
That is a good question.
Well, I don't think this Apocalypse compares...
No, so it'll just be like, is Thanos going to be a weird retread of Darkseid?
Yes.
I mean, he is a weird retread of Darkseid because he is a copy of that character in essence.
Quite literally.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think I feel they're going like Josh Brolin's portrayal of Thanos is just kind of like this weird laid back dude.
Hey, get me that glove that I have.
Yeah.
Where's that stone that I need?
I think they're going to go Darkseid is going to be, again, it's DC versus Marvel. DC are clearly going with everything is the end of the universe and everything's very serious.
Somber and real.
And Marvel is going with, hey, we're just having a little fun. Like, is the end of Age of Ultron? Like,
yeah.
Marvel are toying with us with
their mini guns and
exactly. But the end of Age of Ultron, like the vault opens and Thanos is there and just like, fine, I'll do it myself.
Oh, buddy,
he puts the Infinity Gauntlet on. Like, I don't think people are gonna really even conflate the two. I think they're just gonna be like,
I think people on the internet will.
Yeah.
At comicbookmovie.com
there'll be a lot of articles about, did you know that Thanos is the copy of the thing and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. He's not a copy of the thing. He's a copy of Darkseid.
So what's the thing a copy of?
Rocks. Just
the one
bag.
That Michael Williams is trapped under.
Yes, exactly.
Good Lord.
Yeah. No, I don't think we're going
to
be...
I'd like to think with that show, like he really did get trapped under a rock and they just built
the show around him. He's like, I wish I had a theme for this year's show. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
So, yeah, you don't think it's going to be a problem?
No, I don't think people are going to...
I don't think not so as much now either that we've seen Apocalypse and it's just kind of like a dude.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, we'll see. Unless he turns into a big hulking grayish-blue guy. We'll have to wait and see. We got tweeted this literally hundreds of times.
Yes.
At Kieran Brennan B is one of them. Brennab. What do you guys think about the Sausage Party trailer?
Oh, sure. That turns out to actually be real.
Yes.
It's a real movie.
So it's Seth Rogen and like James Franco and I think Amy Poehler and...
It's
not Amy Poehler.
All the regulars. Jonah Hill.
And
David Krumholtz.
It's like a...
From Numbers.
That's right. It's a weird Numbers...
In his element.
Yes. It's a weird... it's a weird Toy Story-esque universe where food is alive.
I thought it was going to be some real bad CG, but it looks very good.
Yeah, it does.
It is very good. It is very good at pretending to be a DreamWorks film until horrible stuff starts happening. I imagine a lot of people were like tricked into putting their kids in front of it immediately. Like they're like, oh, it's sausage, but everybody should watch this. And they click it and they're like, and it's like, you know, welcome to the supermarket or whatever. And they put their kids in front of it.
Yeah.
murderous bang, stuff happens. Murderous. Yeah,
yeah, there's some really creative use of like violence in this. Like there's that Saving Private Ryan-esque moment where like the cup of noodles is spilt and all the guts are hanging out. And there's the Oreo who picks up his like the back of him.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, because it's fallen off or whatever. Yeah, it looks... It looks okay.
Yeah, it looks fun.
Yeah. That's our opinion of that, isn't it?
Isn't it though, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Will you see it, the cinema? Do you think the R-rated comedy is back? I hope so, because there's only so much PG-13.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Garbage. There's only so many. There's only so much Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn in a car listening to Macklemore that I can take, and that being a sweet gag or whatever. I know that was years ago. That's the first one I could think of.
Oh, man.
I think, though, that's the point that I stopped even watching the trailers. So that's, that's the best reference I have at this point.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah. It's probably the Google movie, right?
That was the Google movie, yeah.
Sure. Great. Yeah. I got a letter here, though.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Nick and James, long-time listener, first-time writer. As a regular visitor... Yeah, apparently.
First time he's ever written
Well
anything.
Done.
Well done.
As a regular visitor to the cinema to see movies you want and don't want to see, I'm interested to see what your opinion is on the screening room idea and whether you think it'll work. As someone who, I'll break that down in a minute, but I know you know, but I don't know, so I'll break it down.
Okay, great.
For me, as somebody who lives in the middle of nowhere, Wales, my nearest, in a whale, we have some good jokes on this show,
don't we? What is it, is it bloody Jonah, is that who you are? You're bloody Pinocchio, mate.
Those characters in the Finding Nemo movie. You go inside the world.
Gulliver, was he trapped in a whale at some point?
I think he was trapped in that Jack Black movie. Whatever was that?
Wales.
My nearest cinema is a good half hour drive away on the motorway, so it's not always feasible for me to see a movie regularly because of the distance, and then some of the movies just aren't shown there. I think it's a good idea for families and people who don't like the cinema and will be able to see movies when they come out instead of waiting for them to be released on DVD/Blu-ray. Give up the good work talking about comics and movies and TV and games every week. It's from James. Now, okay, so what this is, it's a box called The Screening Room or something.
Yep.
Working title, where it's $150. It's like your digital set-top box or a DVD player kind of kind of thing. And then you install that in your home. And then for $50 per movie, you can rent a new release movie. And I'm not talking like Blu-ray. I'm talking like...
What
is currently out at the cinema. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is this has been backed... This has been started by... Napster, what's his name?
Oh yeah,
Ted doesn't say Ted Danston.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, what's his bloody name? Right, Sean Parker.
Okay,
is that right?
Maybe.
Siri, can you hear me?
Hang on.
Siri, it's me, James.
Siri, who founded Napster? She's thinking. Sean Fanning? Sean Parker.
That's what I said.
Yeah, whatever.
Thanks for nothing, Siri.
Wow, don't listen to him, Siri.
And so yeah, he's one of the founders, and it's backed by Ron Howard, J.J. Abrams, Steven Spielberg, Martin Scorsese, Peter Jackson, and Taylor Hackford. And there has been interest from studios like Universal.
Well, like Taylor Hack director. I don't know what he's done.
I think he did the Ray movie.
More like Hack director. No, that's fine.
I haven't seen it. There has been some interest from studios like Universal and Fox, but no one signed on. And the idea is with that $50, you cut in the distributor, and the cinema. Also, this is anti-piracy proof.
We do have some good jokes in this show. And piracy proof.
Okay, but let's just address that. Anything you can play on a screen can be pirated.
Anything you can see and hear, you can pirate.
Especially if it's in your home.
Yeah. Just put the screen up. In fact, if it's in your home... It's because if somebody cams in the cinema, they have to put it under their coat and kind of move it an angle, and they have to put it between seats but in between other viewers or whatever. In this, you could literally set up like a frame around your television and put like a super high quality digital video camera like on the frame.
Yeah.
And just perfectly frame this thing and just copy it directly.
And especially if you've got a high definition television or a projector, of course that's going to come out perfectly. And you could capture the sound. So crisp.
Crisp.
Multiple microphones. Not only that, if you've got a video game capture card, which I do.
Nice.
And I never use it. But you can drag anything off anything.
Yeah.
I guess the only way that I could think that this could possibly work, and this wouldn't even work, is that if you'd somehow put some kind of hidden code in the file.
Yeah.
That's specific to your account.
Right.
And if you copied it, then that could be traced back to you and you would get fined or punched in the balls.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely a punch in the balls.
But even then, I cannot see. I mean, Sean Parker invented Napster, which invented pirating music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not didn't. It made it easy.
It perfected it.
It perfected pirating music.
But it definitely perfected it, yeah.
So him of all people should know that nothing is piracy proof.
Well, exactly. And also, I see where you're going with, like, the idea of, like, this coding encoding thing.
Yeah.
But what would happen is the first person to get caught doing that,
yeah,
they would sort of, word would get around how they got caught.
Yes.
Like around the edge of the frame,
yeah,
there's like a sequence of moving pixels or something like
sure,
that.
Yeah.
And if you can see those,
yeah,
like on the pirated copy,
right,
you can
right.
put it through some computer and
crop and
yeah, interpret yeah. it and see who oh,
right,
copied
yeah.
it. Mm. But then Oop, you sorry, then everybody the would learn that you just have to crop in your frame like a pixel and then you're not
exactly
it's invisible again.
That's exactly right.
Or you could just have some sort of weird color filter that goes through the whole screen
yep.
and then nobody's watching it.
And not only that, you could just set up a fake account and then they'd never track you down.
Yeah. But also, maybe it's an issue of...
If this piracy measure that we
yeah.
made up is to be believed.
Exactly. I guess in the sense that the reason a lot of people pirate things
yeah.
is because it's just easier than downloading things.
Yes.
Which is why iTunes... Which is why Napster eventually died and iTunes rose up.
Yeah.
Because with iTunes, you go, I really want that song, I really want that TV show, I really want that movie... Mm. One click and you've got it.
Yeah.
And it's, you
and
know,
you don't even know money changes
exactly.
hands.
Exactly. It's digital. The money's digital.
Yeah.
yeah. You can't see it. So you
yeah.
just go, yeah, fine. And then
whatever.
In 2 minutes, you've got it and you can watch it immediately.
I want that Macklemore song from that Vince Vaughn movie.
You know I do. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So on that level, yeah. So you're saying that if it's made easy, people won't pirate
yeah, and also,
it. But people will pirate this though. If it's first
yeah.
run movies, if say Batman, Superman, which is coming out this week.
Yeah.
Of course that's going to get pirated.
That's true. But also what I feel is that it might be a case of if it's, you know, was it $50 to download a...
$50 for 48 hours.
For 48 hours. I reckon if you got 10 friends in...
Yeah, exactly.
Or it might, people
I think
might,
that's the idea.
Yeah, or
yeah.
people might even do it as like a viewing party.
Yeah, that's
you know, and
exactly
you say,
right.
everybody bring $5
yeah.
and we can watch this first run movie in our house and we'll have a party or whatever. Like a kind of a...
I'm not against this idea.
Yeah.
I just don't know if it would actually work
right.
in reality. As in, I don't know if major studios and cinema chains
yep.
would... Because they're already coming out trying to stomp this.
Yeah, okay.
Of course they are. Because
yeah.
if I could go to... Like, I don't have a massive sound system or whatever
uh-huh.
or set up or anything. Not even in this luscious regular room that
okay.
we sit in.
No, I understand, sure.
But most movies I would just go, well, I'll just watch it at home.
Yeah.
Most
yeah.
movies. Not all movies. Like, the big ones, obviously, I would go.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, I wouldn't go to the cinema.
Huh.
I mean, maybe that's just me. What about you?
Look, again, I've tried to embrace the cinema
yeah.
these days. So I'm like,
you get a little pizza.
I'll go in there, I get a little pizza, I get a big popcorn, I get a
yeah.
big drink.
Yeah.
I need to pee for the last 2/3 of the film.
Wouldn't be a problem if you did it at
That's
home.
That's true, yeah.
Mm. Maybe not mostly. Maybe half, let's say.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a luxury item for people who have an enormous
don't know
deep,
how to pirate.
Don't know how to pirate things and already have an enormous TV system,
yeah, yeah.
like a cinema-sized TV
sure.
screen, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I can understand that. Do you think it's going to take off, though?
No, not for $50.
Yeah.
Again, because a lot of people who have, again, the giant TV screen and the amazing sound system aren't going to have a million people to come over and and watch, you know, for the $50.
Yeah.
Is it worth it? Because, you know, if it's you and your partner or, you know, just you and yourself.
Your dog.
You need a dog. Are you gonna want to pay?
She's asleep. Shh.
Oh, okay, sorry. Should we continue doing the podcast?
We'll take it outside.
Okay. Okay, we're outside. It's real cold. Are you going to want to pay $50 for one ticket or $25 for two tickets?
Yeah.
Is that worth it kind of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Fair point.
I reckon if it's got no install problems, if you just plug it in your HDMI port and that's it.
Yeah.
And...
Why isn't it an app?
Maybe there is an app.
It sounds like it's a box that you buy for $150. Like, I'm going to stack another box under my TV.
Yeah, true.
I mean, I've only got two, but...
An app would actually work better because...
Yes, it would. You could update it.
And the app store is more secure than... I don't
but
know.
But if you... No, because if you go through... Say you go through iTunes,
mm-hmm.
And I know this is why Comixology changed to Amazon. You purchase them in the browser or on your phone or on your computer, and then you download to the app. Because if you buy it directly through the app, iTunes get half of the...
I see. Right,
so maybe that's why. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they are marketing it like this luxury item. Maybe the box is like as big as a car.
Yeah, maybe.
They just back it up to your house. I don't know. I'm not against it. I just cannot see it
working
long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're definitely going to get a shift towards first run release movies and properties to home. Yeah. With, like, Netflix have already secured like a whole bunch of movies. There's like a massive... like Will Smith, Joel Edgerton fantasy movie coming to Netflix first. Mm-hmm. Like all those Adam Sandler movies now come to Netflix. I think we're probably more likely to get more of that as opposed to you can watch Civil War on your television the day that it comes out.
Mm.
Maybe.
Speaking of Will Smith, I forgot to mention, I should do this every week because every week we get sent like great fan art and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Fart.
That's actually good.
Thank you.
At Adam King XV on Twitter sent me, he made his own The Pursuit of Happiness, which is, for anybody who doesn't know, it's, I firmly believe there in some parallel universe, there's a universe where Will Smith continued to do a rap at the end of every one of his films that explained the plot of said film, even like,
absolutely,
like The Pursuit of Happiness or what have you. Anyway, he made a whole bunch, including Do the Bag of Ants Dance from Legend of Bag of Ants. Watch Me Ghost, Welcome to After Earth from the film After Earth. You know, Make Your Head Hurt from the Columbia Pictures film Concussion. Great stuff. Dead Shots Coming featuring Robbie Robb from Suicide Squad. Anyway, it's great. They're all on my Twitter at Wikipedia Brown if you want to check out. This heaps, I'll try to, if somebody sends me a sweet fan art, I'll try to retweet it and put it in their feed. So
sweet.
Yeah, check that out.
Get that bloody hit it out to them.
Yeah, it's real good.
Him. Great, awesome. All right, that's the show for this week.
Yes, it is.
What's
happening next week? Probably nothing.
Let's just talk about where people can find us first. You're obviously at Wikipedia Brown. I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies.
Yep.
Also at The Weekly Planet on Twitter is a great place to follow. Yep. He's bloody on top of that, isn't he? Everything we do, anywhere, ever.
Better than us.
Yeah. We talked about emails and that, didn't
we? Sometimes he's like, Mesa's enjoying a nice bath. And I'm like, how do you know? I mean, obviously you would, but you know, just take some time to relax, but just out of my bathroom window. Roy Collings, Roy, if that Collings is your real name.
Yeah. Oh, dog's awake. Hello. No, you're back down. Okay. So what else we got? Oh yeah, that Bandcamp commentary's up there. You can play it for free if you want.
Weekly Planet Pod at Gmail and Twitter and Facebook,
right,
and Bandcamp.
Yep. And also patreon.com/MrSunnyMovies. If you want to do that. Also next week is finally the Batman Superman week.
We've been waiting for 3 years for this. After this last episode of the show, we're done.
Well, somebody has asked that. Like, is it? A few people asked, is it really the last episode of your show? Maybe.
Maybe it is.
So I did a thing this week.
Yes.
I was so angry. I told you this. I got
because you went on Steel Wars.
That's right.
It enraged you so.
It did. No, I got an email saying I'll be waiting for this email for like months to be like, do you? Batman Superman screening, and I'm like, yes,
uh-huh.
And it's on like a Tuesday night, and I'm bloody over the moon, right?
Uh-huh.
And I just get this email, and then I messaged you. I'm like, hey, are you in? So I got to put your name in or whatever. And then you messaged back, yes, but I fell asleep for like an hour.
I see.
And then I woke up, and then I went to do it, and it said out of tickets.
Oof.
And I fucking lost my mind. Like there was a good 5 minute period where I was just like inconsolable.
Did you break anything?
Did you shove a thing? I didn't shove anything.
Because past James would have shoved a thing probably.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, or a person.
Yeah.
And the worst part was it was my own fault.
Right. Which is the worst.
That's the one. You know what I mean? Like I can't, you know, blame anybody else. Obviously it was just my own idiocy.
Sure.
So I emailed them and I rang them and eventually they said, look, there was a glitch in the system. Here are your two tickets. It's fine.
The glitch was you fell asleep?
The glitch was, no, but apparently like it just, like there was massive demand and it just kind of crapped out. But
nice.
We got a couple of tickets. So we're seeing it a little bit early. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, obviously. But yeah, we'll let you know what we think of it next week and I'll try and get a review up. I think Tuesday night is when, in the US, is when the embargo breaks.
Oh.
Because there's...
Are we Attach the embargo? Do we
have
the embargo?
Oh, yeah, we've got to sign a thing, yeah. Oh, if you're going to review it before the embargo.
Can I just release a tweet that says either yay or boo?
I didn't see why not.
Great.
I mean, I don't
know. Look out for that, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's very exciting. It's the culmination of everything we've ever done in our lives that we're not involved with.
Yep, correct. So it's...
What do you think? Do you still think it's going to be good?
I think it's going to be good, but it's not going to be surprising.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Again, like what... We don't know where Aquaman's going to be. We don't know where the Flash is going to be. We don't know what Cyborg's going to be up to.
Yeah.
Other than that, we know every step of the plot. So. Yeah. Unless they throw us a weird curveball.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Here we go.
Maybe. Maybe. We might read out a few opinions. So if you hashtag Weekly Planet Pod.
Yeah.
Shoot us an email. We'll read out a few, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's the show.
We did it again.
Exciting week, Mason.
Very exciting.
Exciting.
Yeah, exciting.
All right.
BBSDOJ. Hashtag BBSDOJ.
BBS Dodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Grab that gem, everybody. Okay. We'll see it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.